I've been washed by the blood, filled with the spirit that was sent from the sun. I stand on business but keep walking in love. These haters want war but I won't budge when they tug. I can never be a soldier that won't clap back. Gotta keep my mantle covered like a snapback. The money got them flipping side just like a flapjack. That's big facts, pushing back the darkness, yeah I'm with that. My spirit man on supersized, I'm talking big back. A new creation, born again, I'm on my get back. A hitman, take your demons out, yeah it's a mismatch. Quick to send them back to the pit of hell, homie, get frapped. There's purpose for your pain, hope you believe that. Half the truth is a full lie, don't you receive that? I remember being bound like where the weed at, thinking that I need that just to get my peace back.
Hey, beloved friends, family, and those tuning in now, those tuning in later. We want to welcome you on, Brother Juan G. Welcome to another episode, episode 5 of Kingdom Talk Podcast. Today, our special guest will be Brother Ethan once again. So he'll be sharing part 2 of his testimony. We pray that those that are tuning in now will be blessed, or any tuning in later or now will be blessed, and that that the word of the Lord would complete what it sent out to do. You already know Brother Juan opens it up in prayer so that we can move out the way and let the Holy Spirit have its perfect way. Amen. Those of you tuning in, bow your head, close your eyes, and let's go to the throne in the name of Jesus. Blessedly Father, we humbly come before your throne of grace to thank you, Father God, for this time that you allow us, Lord, this platform that you've blessed us with, Father God, to impact the lives of the many, Father God. Those tuning in now and those that will tune in later, Lord. We ask that you bless them, Father God, and that they would be greatly impacted by your message, by your word, Lord. We ask that you would have your perfect way, Lord. We give you all glory, honor, and praise. We pray for my brother Ethan, Lord, that you would give him clarity of mind, that there would be no distraction or disturbances, Lord, but that the message that goes forth, Lord, will be sent out with love, with agape love, and with wisdom and clarity, Lord. We give you all glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, Brother Ethan.
All right.
All right.
Testimony part 2.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So if you want to just give us a brief recap for those that maybe didn't hear, you know, I would strongly encourage you to go back and listen to Kingdom Talk episode part 3, which is the first part of Brother Ethan's testimony. And that'll help you kind of get a better understanding of where we are today. If you want to just give them a brief recap.
Okay. So basically the first part was just me trying to get out of addictions to marijuana and some alcohol abuse as well. And in order to do that, God called me up to a mountain, as he does all his great prophets of old, I guess, which I didn't feel confident in my calling at the time, but I knew it had been something I had been procrastinating. I decided to obey this, and I went up to the mountain, and greatest experience I've ever had. I was up there from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. There was a lot of amazing revelation that he gave me concerning my doubts, fears, anxieties, problems that I was currently having, and just things to be grateful for as well. And so I went down the mountain later, and I asked Jesus to follow me, or not follow me, but that he would be with me as I'm venturing back down the mountain. And sure enough, he helped me overcome a lot of temptations as I was on my way back home. And it was just, he set me free. Like that was it. Like that day he set me free, I got the chains loose, and ever since I've been kind of living freely. And it's just a matter of being consistent in my prayer walks, mm-hmm. as well as reading scripture.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because I went through seasons where I would read a lot,
mm-hmm.
and then there would be seasons where I wouldn't read, but I would pray a lot.
Right.
And so part of my experience on that mountain was reading this book called Deeper Walk. And in that, it was kind of talking about how there are even churches that do that too.
Yeah.
Some are very scripture focused and some are very just spirit focused.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of need both.
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be one of each.
Yeah, there has to be balance.
Yeah, there has to be balance.
Yeah.
And so that's what's been happening in this season of my life as well, is just balance of prayer and scripture. and understanding, like, when I read something, okay, God, like, what should I be praying about for me to understand this text that you have brought to my attention? And so as if you were to go back into my previous podcast talk, I've come out of Mormonism, and I consider myself an ex-Mormon. It's interesting because I wasn't baptized at 8 years old like most people were. I decided and chose to be baptized at 18, which I will say is not necessarily a regret, but it was definitely something I felt like I shouldn't have done.
Right. So before we go a little bit further, let me ask you. So when you talking about the time that you spend in prayer and then the time that you spend in God's word, we know that there has to be a balance, because ultimately the word of God is our the roadmap.
Yeah. Okay.
This is the instruction manual. But it's what happens in that moment of intimacy with the Father in the name of Jesus. That's what's pivotal. So in your opinion, what does that look like for you? Or what does that mean to you?
What it means is kind of like, I can read scripture, but if I'm not going to the Father, if I'm not coming to Jesus before and after I've read the scripture, or asking him what this means and how it applies to me personally,
right,
then I'm going to get lost in my own interpretations.
Right.
Like, I could misinterpret something, in which case I did learn in school that there's exegetical type of analyzing the Bible, and then there's eisegetical. Eisegetical is putting your own opinion on biblical text. Exegetical is doing a scholarly, more, I would say, intentional and disciple type reading of scripture.
Right.
And so if I don't pray before or after reading the Bible, then I'm going to get lost in my own head. I'm going to rely on my own knowledge of what I think that this text says or means. But when you submit yourself under Christ's authority, under his mind, because he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways.
Amen.
So it's kind of like submitting that, okay, God, I may be lacking in understanding here. Can you help me gain some wisdom?
Yeah. And see, that's biblical, because the word of the Lord says that the Holy Spirit will teach us all things, even the hidden and unsearchable mysteries of the word of God, because the word of God is lofty. It's beyond our reasoning and our logic. So if we're trying to read it and understand it from a human perspective, it's not going to make sense, because this is beyond our reasoning. This is supernatural. Yeah. And it's funny that the Lord Jesus would use things in the natural to describe something in the supernatural, because it was practical, but at the same time profound. So I think that when we look at God's word through our natural mind, it's not going to make sense. So we're going to, there's always going to be those, the hangups, and God's not going to reveal it all to us all in one shot.
No,
it takes time. But part of the reason why I was asking is because I think that a lot of people, they misunderstand the purpose behind spending time communing with God in prayer. Jesus set the example, because every morning he withdrew from the crowds, or he withdrew from the disciples, and he'd spend time in prayer with the Father. But in that time of intimacy with the Father, he was receiving instruction. He was receiving counsel. He was receiving guidance for what he was going to encounter, what he was going to deal with in that moment.
Yeah.
But this is God in the flesh. You know what I mean? And the Father and him are not separate, but he was setting a standard. He was setting an example for us to live by, for us to a guideline for us to follow. And so it's in that time of intimacy with the Father where we receive everything that we have need of. And that's, I think, that a lot of people misinterpret that time of prayer, or that time of intimacy with the Father. They think it's just them praying to God. A lot of times it's just us being still before an almighty God so that we can receive from him. Yeah, I mean, part of it's praying and making our request known to God, because he says, come to me with all supplications and all forms of prayers. You know what I mean? But sometimes it's just being still before an almighty God. And so I like to believe
in
that.
Silence.
In silence. And so I love that you mentioned about that balance. We have the life of the Christian or the life of the servant, the disciple of Jesus is always going to be a time of intimacy with the Father and with Him. And then a time of where we're letting the Holy Spirit teach us so that we're not led astray or we're not misinterpreting what He's trying to teach us. Because the Holy Spirit is the best teacher.
Mm-hmm. You know what exactly. I mean? Exactly. I agree. Mm-hmm. I heard a colleague recently talk about the story of Job. Mm-hmm. And
it's funny, Job was mentioned earlier today too. We're on the same page, we're on the same accord.
So I thought it was interesting because her point that she made was that in the very first chapter, Job is this very wealthy, healthy man. Mm-hmm. And he's got a lot of children, a lot of livestock. His life is very prosperous. Mm-hmm. And then Satan approaches God, kind of asking permission, saying, I bet that if you were to allow me to mm-hmm. make this man's life terrible, that he would no longer favor you. And God's kind of like, all right, well, let's test that theory. I guess I'll let you test him, but one thing you cannot do is you cannot kill him. Mm-hmm. And Satan has to abide by that rule.
Yeah, because he's under authority.
He's under God's authority.
Yeah,
which I think is also interesting.
Yeah, always.
So Satan does. He gets to work. Mm-hmm. He pulls everything away from Job, like all his livestock. He's poor now. Next thing you know, all his sons and daughters killed. And it's kind of like he just loses friends and a lot of wisdom along the way. And not necessarily wisdom, but just a lot of hope. Mm-hmm. And but the one thing that my friend pointed out was that the only thing Satan did not take away was his wife, which I thought was interesting. Mm-hmm. And because in the story, she comes up to Job at some point and she's like, why don't you just curse God and die already. And he's kind of like, I can only imagine being Job in that moment, kind of like, what? Like,
well, yeah, because on top of losing all his livestock and his sons or his children, he was afflicted from the crown of his head to his feet.
Yeah, he had,
you know, with boils and sores. With open sores. So here he's in agony.
Yeah.
And he's already dealing with, you know, he's mourning his children, the loss of his children and his livelihood. But now he's in a state of agony because of the condition that he's suffering. And his friends and everybody around him are telling him, what did you do? You must have done something. God wouldn't put this on you if you didn't do something. Or if you haven't, you know, some hidden sin or something.
Yeah.
And here his wife, flesh of his flesh, bones of his bones, is telling him, why don't you curse God and die already? And yet he remains faithful.
Yeah.
But there's also a part that people miss. There was a young boy named Elihu.
Okay.
That was one of his servants that would minister to Job.
Okay.
Because God's always going to bring somebody alongside us in those moments, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That will pour into us and that will minister to us in our low moments, you know what I mean? And it's so awesome. I love the story of Job because there's so much in it. But go ahead, brother. I'm sorry.
You're chilling. So I just thought it was interesting of her point saying, like, sometimes Satan will leave somebody important to you or leave something that's important to you because he knows that is the one thing that could possibly pull you away from God.
Yeah, yeah.
And so in that moment of where she's like, curse God and die, Satan is the one speaking through her.
Yeah.
You know, and Job is just kind of taken aback. Mm-hmm. Like, why would you say this to me kind of thing? Or like, I can't do that. Like, who are you? And in that moment, it would have been, you know, just very discouraging to hear that from somebody that you would expect to lift you up or pray with you
or love you or care about you. Yeah,
exactly. And so, and since that didn't happen, it was kind of like, okay, like it really is about your personal relationship with God. How much do you trust Him in your personal testimony? You can't rely on somebody else's testimony or their experience with God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I did practically my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Up until that mountain experience, I would piggyback off of a lot of other people's testimonies and be like, well, I know God is real because this person went through this and this, that, and that, the third. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously he's real because they wouldn't be here, like, if he didn't have a purpose for them. And so it really came down to, all right, well, God, what's your purpose for me? Like, mm-hmm. what is the plan that you have ordained since the beginning of time? Because I was talking to another friend, and she was like, I just feel like nobody understands me, and nobody gets me, and I just hate people. And I'm like, that's really discouraging to hear. But I told her, I was like, Natalie, I don't think that anyone is supposed to think like you.
No, he's not talking about Sister Natalie, my wife. He's talking about a completely different Natalie.
Yeah.
Just to clarify
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Different girl named Natalie.
Different
and,
Natalie.
And I was like, I don't think anybody's supposed to think like you. I think that you were put here on this earth at this time for the specific reason. Mm-hmm. And I was like, look, like, I could have been, you know, somebody's slave owner in like the, or the slave in mm-hmm. the 1800s, you know? Mm-hmm. But instead, I get this opportunity to be in this life and a friend to you.
Yeah.
Like, I think that God's intentions and the purpose that he has for every person on this planet is crazy unique. And yeah. So that's where I kind of like opened up her eyes a little bit. Like, okay, I guess I wasn't being very sensitive to the people who have been bringing me down.
Right.
And it's like, okay, yeah. Like, she's like, it's just ministry is hard. And I'm like, yeah, ministry is hard.
The part that's beautiful about ministry, brother, is that God allows us the opportunity to share with other people where we went wrong and
yeah.
where he made it right.
Yeah.
And so he allows us to go through the things that we go through in life, the pitfalls, so that we can pull others that are in that same struggle out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's awesome that God's using you to share that on so many different levels. But I want to go back. I want to backpedal a little bit and
okay.
go back to your encounter and your time on the mountain. It's beautiful that, again, those of you that haven't heard that testimony, go back in the name of Jesus, go back and listen to it. It's powerful. There's great significance in the testimony of my brother. And not just my brother, he's not unique. All throughout the Bible, you read about great men and women having their encounter in the mountain, out in the desert. Even in modern times, I had my mountain experience here, and my brother had his. But it's what happened on the mountain that's most important. Like, and then the tangible evidence behind it. Like, because immediately after you come down the mountain, the enemy's tempting you. But it was what you spoke to Abba Father up on the mountain. You said, Lord, you have to be with me because I'm weak. I'm not strong enough to overcome these temptations. So leave a part of yourself here so that I can meet with you
yeah.
here. And then the other part, you know, put it in me.
Yeah.
Fill me, Lord. And then immediately you come down the mountain, and immediately you're dealing with all the different temptations known to man. What we all struggle with.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. And speaking of secret places, so yes, that was one specific. Like mm-hmm. that mountaintop is definitely a secret space that I feel like mm-hmm. heaven meets earth.
Right.
And I do feel very intimate with the Father.
Right.
But just as much as he meets with us in high places, mm-hmm. he can also meet with us in low places.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we're feeling discouraged, weary, broken, and just we feel ashamed, you know, of just mm-hmm. past memories, things that we're currently doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's another place that I have discovered, not necessarily recently, but it's kind of been renewed as mm-hmm. a space, and it's this dog park near my parents' house. And yeah, it's just a dog park. Yeah. But I went there, and because I used to go there, and I would mm-hmm. when I had my ex-girlfriend, we used to go there and we would smoke weed, right?
Oh,
it was
okay.
bad.
Yeah,
like, but I really liked that spot just because it's very green, like there's a lot of trees. I feel very, it's kind of lower into the ground. It feels like a valley-ish mm-hmm. area. And so I went back to this place, and yes, there were some memories that popped up there, but I also wanted to redeem that area, knowing that like there had been some demonic activity here, and I just felt like, okay, Jesus, I know that this is a place where I did some shameful acts. And first and foremost, I'm very apologetic. Second, I hope that you forgive me. And third, I pray that you would just redeem this place. And I went around and I touched every tree, and I was like,
"That's awesome,
Lord, Lord God, can you please station an angel here? That no demons would and evil activity would disturb this area. I'll go on to the next tree, and I pray this almost a very similar thing, like, please put a portion of your spirit here in this field,
like cleansing so, that space.
That space. And so now, every time I feel tempted to like, instead of like, you know, if I'm stressed out, usually it would be the first thing is run to the marijuana, right? But now it's, I just ride down to the dog park, and I meet with God there, and it's just been very amazing. Like, obviously it's not fun to do it at 2 in the afternoon because it's 119 degrees.
You can't go in the sun. It's definitely hot out these days.
But especially in the morning. I try to go in the mornings just because, I mean, that's how you start your day off. Like, if I start my day off with God, it ends pretty well. Like,
so you created a your secret place, a secret place where you can commune with God, and I think that's beautiful. You know, I was a weed head too, brother. You know, that was my go to because I didn't want to think, I didn't want to feel. I just wanted to be, and I think that, you know, it's synonymous with a lot of addicts. What it doesn't matter, struggle is struggle.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, and I know I did it to self-medicate myself, to numb myself so that I didn't have to think or kind of deal with my issues. So it was kind of an escape, when in all reality, it really wasn't an escape because the issues were still there. You know what I mean? And it didn't make things better. If anything, it just made matters worse.
Yeah.
But I like that in your moments of weakness, you submit to God, because the word says, submit to God first, resist the devil, and he'll flee. And it was cool because in your testimony, you did that 3 times.
Yeah.
But you created a safe space where in your moments of weakness, you can commune with God there.
Yeah.
And instead of falling into temptation, you run to God. And that's powerful, man. I mean, everybody doesn't do that. I can testify, you know, like, we all fall short. But I love that something incredible happened. And not just in the mountain, in the moment that you came forward and you prayed, because we prayed together, you prayed and you received the Lord. And believe me, this is tangible evidence. This is proof that when we receive the Lord with an open heart and we're sincere with it, there's a tangible evidence that takes place in the life of the believer in that moment. So there's not only the death and the resurrection, but then there's the renewal of the mind. There's healing and restoration that takes place in the heart. And a whole a number of other things. Now we're being empowered, we're being enabled, you know, we're being equipped to not only meet out the purpose that God has for us, but to walk day by day. We're learning to walk day by day in our new identity.
Yeah.
Because that's what it boils down to, is identity.
I do remember on the mountain, it got to a point where I don't know. I've growing up, I suppressed a lot of my own confusion, my own anger, frustrations with things. And on the mountaintop, I just remember screaming. Like,
so you released it.
I was just yelling at the top of my lungs until my voice hurt. And after that, that's when I fell asleep. And I just passed out. And I think that's when after I woke up, that's when God was able to minister to me, because I was in a state of peace, being, just like you were talking about, with how, like, when we want to get high, it's just that we just want to be. We don't want to feel or think anything. So that's what this new dog park place is for me too. It's like, there's no, like, work needed to be done. There's no people requesting my attention. There's no
stress.
It's I just no distractions. Go there. Like sometimes I don't even pray. I just sit there.
Yeah.
And I mean, sometimes I'll cry, and sometimes I'll, you know, sing, and sometimes I'll. But most of the time, it's just sitting there, being present with God, and that's all it is. Like just grounding yourself in the place that He has you, you know, and knowing that it's gonna be okay. And just, I don't know, I think it's very interesting to have that space. But then another place, I guess, I was listening to my pastor recently talk about shame and weariness.
Oh,
and yes. How this month is, you know, Pride Month, and it should be, what he says, it should be Shame Month. You know?
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, okay, why is that? And she's saying it's not that we should look at our shame constantly and wear it, because that's when it becomes an identity and it turns into pride. And because shame is just the opposite of pride. It's
like, no, well, shame and pride go hand in hand. Yeah. But here's the thing. Shame and pride are a spirit at work.
Yeah.
And so we come against those spirits, because shame will cause you to hide from God's presence. Conviction will cause you to draw to Him. Shame will cause you to run away from Him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So shame is a spirit at work, along with pride.
Yeah.
So we have to be careful. And we're not bashing that community whatsoever, but we are going to stand on the side of righteousness and say that wrong is wrong. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's no gray area. But I think that this is where we get it twisted. As a people known by the Lord's name.
Yeah.
And I just shared a message about this one of the other episodes. We're not called to be judges.
No. Yeah,
that's not the position of a saint. It's not the position of a child of God or those that are in Christ, Christ-like.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't judge and condemn anybody.
No.
He could, you know, he let the words that he spoke do the convicting, you know, for him. But he loved people and he prayed for them. And when he rebuked them, he rebuked them sternly, but he did it with love. Not from a place of judgment, but from a place of righteousness. And so I think that if we're gonna make a judgment, let us make a righteous judgment about a person's conduct and not their character or their person. We don't have the right to judge. The word of the Lord says that judgment is reserved for the Lord only.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think that that's a fine line that we really need to really tread lightly. And also, if we're gonna make a righteous judgment about a person's character, I mean about a person's conduct, I like to think that we better be upright in our walk. Our posture better be right. Our walk better be right, because the word of the Lord says, for the same measure, the measure that we use to judge another, with the same measure that's gonna be used to judge us. So we should be really careful, or not always looking at a person's fault. Part of agape love, or the love of Christ, part of loving people that way is loving them in spite of their flaw, in spite of their sin. Like Jesus loves us. In spite of our wretchedness, in spite of our ugliness and our disobedience and our outright rebellion to Him, His love chased after us. And He met us where we were at in the moment that we called out to Him.
Yeah.
So in spite of ourselves, He continues to love us. So we ought to do the same. That's what agape looks like. Agape love looks like. In spite of whatever their sin looks like, we continue to love them and pray for them. You know what I mean? Because they're lost.
Exactly.
And we aren't.
Yeah, we aren't lost, but because He found us. You know?
Exactly.
So what the pastor was talking about was just that, like, he's like, I want you to think back to that one time that you felt the most ashamed. Usually it's either one, something was done to you, or two, you did something to somebody else.
Yeah.
And his next point was that more often than not, it's probably sexual. And that convicted me, obviously. I mean, there's moments in my past where I'm not proud of, but then there's also moments of my past that just made me feel ashamed and worthless because of something that was done to me.
Yeah.
And so, and more often than not, it happened on my LDS side of life.
Yeah.
And as the older I've grown, the more I've started to realize, like, that's not so uncommon in LDS cult circles. And so, but it's also just a very prevalent issue in not just LDS circles, but everywhere around the world. And primarily incest. Like, that's not very lighthearted. That's not something that people take very lightheartedly, you know. It's not a, it's a very difficult subject to talk about.
Right.
And so I'm not going to go into any details, but I'm just trying to spread a little bit of awareness. Like, that's definitely part of my walk and my shame. And I thought it was interesting because my mom, she helped me try to do a deliverance session with this. And part of it is, okay, what do you remember about this memory? And it's like, okay, I'm vividly, visionally trying to remember this. And she's like, do you see Jesus? And I started getting angry because it was like, no, like, I don't. Like, where would he be in this horrible memory? And because usually you can see Jesus in somebody else. They come to the rescue, or you see, you hear Jesus in a song, or maybe it's a type of smell or whatever. But it was interesting in this moment where I was the victim. I was like, I don't see Jesus. And I heard a low voice in my head and said, well, Ethan, you don't see me because I'm in you. And it, then it like cleared up, obviously, because Jesus was somebody who's completely innocent, and people spat on him, people abused him, people
mocked him and all sorts of stuff,
and they killed him,
ripped his beard off and
killed him in the end, you know. And so like, he is the victim in this scenario, and he's not, he's never been the predator and never been the accuser or the prosecutor. And so that's always the role of the devil, and
the accuser,
the manipulator. And so in this instance, it was kind of like Jesus was showing me, like, I'm in you. Like, I'm wanted you to have this experience to know what it's like to be me. And so in some ways it was comforting because it was kind of like, okay, Jesus is showing me that, like, it is not my fault for being in this situation.
No.
Like, and I think that's what's important for every victim to hear, is that, like, it is not your fault that you're in that position. It's Christ showing you that we're all sinned against, and we all sin against each other. But with him, we can feel a little bit more at peace and comforted in those tragic moments, you know.
It's just when we're talking, like, in this instance you're mentioning about being the victim of some kind of sexual violation or molestation or something, or some kind of sexual offense, being the victim of you know, sexual molestation also at a young age, you know what I mean? I could tell you, I mean, it kind of messed my perception up.
Yeah.
Kind of distorted my perception of things. And it's kind of an uncleanness that you can never, like, you can never get rid of. It's just there. But it's amazing the lengths that the enemy will go to destroy God's children.
Yeah.
And so he'll suggest a spirit at work in our lives, you know, at a pivotal, I mean, at a moment of our innocence, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because we're innocent. But in that moment, something is introduced to us that is ultimately is not normal. obviously. No.
Yeah.
But something's introduced to us, and so in that moment, a part of our innocence is lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm completely understandable.
And so it's easy for this spirit to attach itself, because it's dealing with the flesh.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so it's something that, you know, we carry along.
Yeah.
A lot of times people carry their whole life until they're made aware of what it is, and they're able to address it.
You know?
And that's what deliverance is addressing it and surrendering it.
Yeah, allowing yourself to experience it all over again.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Like, even though it hurts, but that's when Christ is able to do his works of healing is just because, like, you're ready to face the reality of whatever happened.
In our body of believers, we say, you know, an exposed devil is a defeated devil.
Yeah.
Because when you expose it and you get to the root of it, now you're able to take the axe to the root and you get rid of it. You know what I mean? It's not a part of you anymore. But we have to always be conscious as children of God, as sons and daughters of the Most High, that in the moment that we have an encounter with Jesus, that is not a part of us any longer.
No.
But so that's a device of the enemy that he'll use to keep the children of God weighted down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so it's deeper than that. But there's something that you said that was real significant. And you said it just a few minutes ago. When you're talking about part of the anointing and the calling of God on his people. Because he said, many are called from darkness to light, but few are chosen, right? Many are called, few are chosen. So those select few that he chooses for a distinct purpose to do extraordinary things in the earth, in his name, for his kingdom.
Yeah.
So there's a great calling on their life. But along with the calling and the anointing comes a suffering.
Yes.
Because the Lord said, we're going to partake in his suffering.
Pick up your cross daily.
But what's awesome about that is that in the suffering, in the crushing, he's able to produce more of his character in us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it gives us a greater compassion and understanding for the problem and our adversary, but also his greatness and his mercy.
Yeah.
And then we're able to pour into other people, because there's some people that have fallen, but they don't understand the purpose of the fall. But they also don't know that, you know, they don't know how to get back up. And some don't want to get back up.
Yeah.
They like to stay in a fallen state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, because I've definitely been there. Like, I've laid on the ground and I didn't care to get up.
Yeah.
And, like, why should I? Like, I'm just going to get knocked down again.
Yeah.
Like, what's the point of getting up if you're just going to keep getting knocked down?
That's the enemy talking, though.
That's the enemy talking.
Yeah, those strongholds.
And, yeah, exactly. And so it all starts with something very young, when you're at a very young age. And, of course, like you were talking about, we feel, because of those events, unclean or impure.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember reading in Matthew, blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they shall see the face of God.
Amen.
And so when that event happened, it felt like God had turned his face.
Uh-huh.
And because I didn't have a pure heart anymore.
Yeah.
And that I was made unclean. And so it was very disheartening. Yeah. And but then, of course, you know, I got diagnosed with diabetes, and then that was like, all right, I just give up. I'm done fighting. Like, like, what's the point of getting back up? And it wasn't until, I think last year, is when I started to get back up.
Amen.
Because my mom, she told me the definition of my name.
Uh-huh.
And it means steadfast or enduring.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was, I don't know, because my whole life the devil had been saying, like, you're weak.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're way too weak.
Yeah.
Like, you can't even come up to your calling, because that's just how weak you are. And, like, it's just like,
that's horrible.
Many multiple things just, and then, like, now this bodily condition, you can't even stand up sometimes because you have low blood sugars.
Yeah.
And it's like, how do you expect to fight somebody when you're in this state of shakiness, and you have no solid ground to stand on? You don't even have a testimony yet.
Yeah.
And it's like,
oh no, okay, you have a testimony.
Yeah. So then it was just kind of like, okay,
a strong testimony.
My mom told me, like, my name, she was like, Ethan, your name is literally means strength.
Yeah.
Like, that's that's why I named you, is because named you Ethan. It was because you were giving me strength when no other man could.
And yeah.
Granted, that's a very hard burden to place on just a baby.
Yeah.
But like, look at how many trials you've already overcome, and look how many times the devil has tried to come against you. Like, you should be dead.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, from that car accident a couple of years ago. But still, God is like, nope, I have my shield of protection around this kid.
Yeah, yeah.
Reasons I don't even know. And even while I was actively rebelling against God.
Because he loves us.
I know.
And the thing is, you know, when we read in his word, and he tells us, this is God in the flesh. This is the word that became flesh and dwelt among men. And God in the flesh is telling us, look, you can make your bed in hell. I'm still going to find you there.
Yeah.
My love is still going to reach you.
I will find you in the lowest places.
In the lowest places. So it doesn't matter how far. It doesn't matter how deep, how high.
Yeah.
His love is always going to search out his children. And his hand is always upon his people.
Yeah.
Brother, I could testify. I should have been dead a bunch of times. I should have been dead in my mother's womb. Because the enemy was trying to kill me then.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Then.
Yeah, that's
and my hard. Whole life. And it would, and it, and he... The lengths that the enemy will go to destroy or to distort or pervert our perception or the path that the Lord has carved out for us. You know what I mean? And so he'll do it by all types of abuse, neglect, all types of ways. False identities being spoken over us, spiritual oppression. Look, a lot of people don't know. I struggle with a spirit of depression for years.
Yeah.
Even as a child, you know what I mean? Like, as a result of all the abuse and all that stuff, like, there would be periods in my life where I would struggle with some serious bouts of depression.
Yeah.
And the only way that I could describe it, I would tell my mom, you know, like, I feel the dark cloud coming over my heart again, Mom. And I'd lay in bed, bro, and I would cry, and I would just be stuck. I didn't want to bathe. I didn't want to eat. I didn't want to do anything. And this would happen. This happened throughout my life until the moment where I met Jesus and he started teaching me. He started teaching me about what it is that I struggled with, that it was a spirit at work, a debilitating spirit, because those spirits will debilitate you, they'll cripple you, they overwhelm and envelop you.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so hard to shake them off. But glory to God, we have power and authority in the name of Jesus over a spirit of depression. Any oppressive spirits, any demonic presences, anything that the enemy throws at us, he's giving us authority. When you spoke about how the devil was under authority, let's go back to Job.
Yeah.
There was a reason why Abba Father chose Job. Because the Lord knows his people. Because he says he knows the intents of the heart. He knows what our thoughts are.
Exactly.
But before the foundations of the world were created, he already knew us. So the Lord, Abba Father, already knew who Job was. He knew what Job would do. See, the devil doesn't, because he's omniscient. He's not omnipresent. He's not God.
He already knew what Satan would do to try to get Job to be.
Part of that story, my brother shared it. I didn't want to interrupt him, but part of that story, the word of the Lord says that the sons of God showed up in heaven, and along with them came Satan. So when Abba Father saw him, he said, "What are you doing here, and where have you come from?" He said, I've been roaming the earth to and fro, seeking whom I may devour. And the Lord said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And so the accuser says, "Well, the only reason why, you know, that Job worships you and he adores you the way that he does is because, you know, you protect him." And so the Lord said, "Okay, you know, then strike his children and his family, and his flocks, but don't harm him." And so then he loses all his children and everything.
Yeah.
But so because the enemy knows. The enemy doesn't know the beginning from the end, and he doesn't know our hearts and our minds, but he knows what's been spoken, but he also recognizes the anointing.
Yeah.
Because he was there in the beginning.
Huh.
And so he's aware, he knows that anointing. And so those are the ones that he comes after the hardest. The word of the Lord says that the thief doesn't break in, what does it say? The thief doesn't break into houses that don't have nothing valuable in them.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. He's going to break into the house that has all the goodies. So there's a purpose and a reason why at an early age, he was already at you, attacking you with different types of ways, you know, in maybe in the stability of your home.
Yeah.
In false religions being introduced to you. But the beauty of it all, bro, is that regardless of what the enemy tried to do and how he tried to distract or pervert the course of your life, God's presence was always there.
Yeah.
And his truth is always being spoken over you and to you.
Yeah.
No matter what it looked like.
Yeah. Okay.
But his presence was always there. And the gospel was being spoken into you and speaking over you at an early age.
Oh, yes. It definitely was.
Yeah, yeah.
Just as much as truth was, you know, poured into me, lies were trying and manipulation were trying to overcome that. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so it was a matter of, I don't know, like, I always trusted the name Jesus.
Amen.
And no other.
Right.
Like, there was no other name that I would put above Jesus.
Right.
And I even knew that as a little kid. Like, just, it didn't matter if Adam was the first human. Like, that's pretty cool to be the first human. Mm-hmm. But he's not greater than Jesus because Adam is, they call Jesus the last Adam. Mm-hmm. Why? It's because by the first Adam, man fell. Mm-hmm. And by Jesus, we are able to rise and stand again.
Amen.
And so, like, he is the Adam that God was already preparing from the beginning of the world.
But Jesus will be the last sacrifice
exactly.
that ever has to be made.
Mm-hmm.
See, because in the beginning, the first Adam needed a sacrifice to be made, and blood was spilled to cover their sin or to cover their nakedness, right?
Yeah.
To cover over their sin. So there was blood that had to be shed. And so from the beginning up until the time of Jesus, the atonement or the blood of bulls and those sacrifices only made temporary atonement for the sin, but people continue to sin all the more. So this is, and even that is a deep dynamic because blood represents life.
Yeah.
The blood is the essence, the life force, or the essence of any living creature is this blood. So here, God loves us so much. And it's funny that this is coming up because this is what the Lord's been putting on my heart all day.
Okay.
That he loved us so much that he stepped down from heaven and he dwelt among us and was born like one of us, just like one of us, and suffered and was tempted in every way like us and yet was without sin. And at the appointed time, he died in our place and shed his blood, the blood of God.
Yeah.
That's why there's so much power in that blood. That's why that blood is able to redeem everybody that will believe and call upon the name of the Lord. It's a free gift. You know what I mean? That power, there's blood, there's power in that blood.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we say it all the time when we pray, my wife and I, or when we pray for other people, we tell them, we apply the blood of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus because the enemy can't go through the blood.
No.
Because remember when the Holy Spirit told the people to take the blood of the goats and to put it over the doorpost, he told the Israelites in Egypt,
oh, yeah.
Before the angel of death swept across the land, he told the man, anoint your home with the blood of the goats over your doorpost so that the angel of death will sweep. When the angel of death sweeps across the land, he'll pass your home and your children won't suffer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's symbolic to what we do when we pray in the name of Jesus in the spirit and we plead the blood of Jesus over whatever we apply it to, whether it's our home, our children, the marriages, the church, the body of Christ, whatever. But there's power in the name of Jesus, but there's power in the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we always have to be mindful of that fact. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So God has not only given us armor, our weapons of warfare are mighty and powerful, the word of the Lord says, for tearing down strongholds and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. So these weapons are powerful. But along with the weapons, his spirit abides in us. So there's that authority and that dominion. So we have the power and authority in the name of Jesus to remind the enemy and all his demons that they have to come under that authority.
Yeah, exactly.
Regardless of your physical state. Because the Bible says that David was small and ruddy compared to his brothers. You know what I mean? So it's not about our physical appearance. It's about the spirit, man. It's about the inner man.
Yeah.
It's about our faith. Amen?
Exactly. And that's like... That's why when we wear Christ, I mean, Jesus says, to his disciples, all power and authority both on heaven and earth has been given to me. So that when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, and in our hearts,
yeah,
we have that same power, authority in heaven and on earth.
Yeah. Because his spirit abides in us.
Yeah, his spirit abides in us.
So here, let's chew on this a little bit. Part of the identity for us here on earth, we're not earthbound creatures.
No.
It says that our identity is hidden in Christ, and we're seated in the heavenly realms. So when we speak from a place of victory. We speak from a place of authority in the name of Jesus, because his spirit abides in us, and because our identity here on earth isn't slaves to sin. We're not separated from God. We're not separated from our Father because of that precious blood, because of that redeeming blood. Yeah. So on top of his spirit abiding in us, and on top of this identity that we have, right, and authority and dominion, he says, we're seated in the heavenly realms. So now we speak from victory, not to victory.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So, but the devil's always going to try to distort and pervert that perception of what our identity is. And so you have a bunch of people that go to these churches week after week, month after month, year after year, never having authority, never having victory, never having power, because they're not aware of what their identity is. So, like for me, the Apostle Paul, it's not tedious for me to keep repeating it. Listen, every chance that I get, in the name of Jesus, for the glory of God, I'm going to remind God's people that our identity is hidden in Christ, and no longer slaves to sin, but sons and daughters of the Most High God.
Yeah.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So along with that identity comes the power, the authority, and the dominion. Here's where the problem is. We have to consciously take that identity up and walk in it. It belongs to us.
Yeah.
And the devil's going to do whatever he can to distort our perception or pervert or distort it.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree.
Amen.
And
sorry.
No, yeah, sorry. You're good. So I thought it was interesting how you talked about your depression. Mm-hmm. And that's a very...
It's real.
Common, real thing that a lot of people struggle with. And I mean, I've been there. I've struggled more with anxiety than I did with...
There's another sphere that work.
Exactly. But when it came... I know a lot of people who struggle with depression, they would cut themselves.
Yeah.
Right? And you just talked about how blood is the life, right? Mm-hmm. It's what we give glory to God for. Like that we have blood in our veins, that we look like him. Mm-hmm. My mom, she told me this story. Her favorite story is Elijah.
About the prophets of Baal?
About the prophets
I was just going to mention that.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
And so I would often get like in moments of very deep frustration and shame for myself.
Yeah.
I would imagine myself cutting. Like, just, you know, I'm done. Like, but just get it over with. Like,
yeah.
Screw this. Attempting to take my own life, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in a lot of ways, like, the reason that we try to do that is because we're trying to get God's attention, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, God, do you even, like, if I cut myself, are you going to, like, respond to me now? Like, hello?
But the prophets of Baal were in a state of desperation, though.
I know. They were calling out to a God who wasn't real. And actually, it was a God named Molech, right? It was...
Well, no, it's Baal.
Baal, yes. Yeah. But with...
Molech was a different God.
Yeah, Molech's the one where they sacrificed their children to, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's kind of this one, almost the same spirit of like, shed your blood, shed your life for this God that... is really just manipulating you into being aligned with powers of darkness as opposed to powers of like...
No, I'm not laughing at you. No. I'm laughing at the story because when you really think about it, listen how it's absurd, really, when you really think about it. So this is an inanimate, first of all, an object that people were worshiping.
Yeah.
And called it a god.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have... was it 300, 500 prophets of Baal? So you have all these individuals that claim to be prophets of an inanimate object or a God that doesn't have power and authority.
That they created.
Yeah, that they created with their own two hands.
Yeah.
So it was a man-made thing, but this is how ridiculous it is, because it's the same thing that we do today.
Yeah.
It's the same. It's not the tactics are the same. The enemy hasn't changed his tactics. It's just now he's out in the open and he's not hidden anymore.
No.
He's not hiding. You know what I mean?
But so, I would always think about that. Every time that I was tempted with that, and I would be like, nah.
But that's a spirit at work, brother.
I can't shed my blood for you.
Yeah,
I'm not going to shed my blood for you, freaking Satan or whatever. Like, that's stupid. If my blood's ever going to get shed, it's going to be for Christ.
It's not normal for a person to take a knife or a sharp object and cut himself.
No. Yeah.
That's not normal, bro. That's not normal. And that's a spirit at work.
Yeah, my ex-girlfriend, she was somebody who used to cut herself. And I told her about that story. And, you know, I tried to be a witness to her. Granted, I wasn't living a Christ-like lifestyle, but I just wanted to give her a little bit of a glimmer of hope. You know, like, please stop doing this. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not normal, or this isn't what God would want you want for you at all. Like, you're a daughter of... You're a daughter of Christ.
Amen.
Like, and
a daughter of the King.
Yeah. You know?
Wonderfully and beautifully made.
Exactly. And so it's like he would, like he shed his blood so that you don't have to, you know? And I don't know. I think that's amazing. And so I always just regain that strength from that, remembering that story of kind of like, okay, you know, if I slip my wrist, like, then I'm aligning and submitting to a different God than the one who I know to be true.
Yeah, because they're listening to the enemy's voice and his suggestions and not listening to the Lord. And some people aren't even aware because they don't have a relationship. Listen, this is really it pulls on my heartstrings when I hear these kind of things, because there's a lot of people out there that struggle. There's a lot of you out there that struggle with this. Listen, brother, sister, friend, if you're struggling with suicidal thoughts, if you're struggling with hopelessness, if you're struggling with depression or anxiety, understand that that's a spirit at work, and you can overcome these things. And the way to overcome it is Jesus. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the way. He's the truth and the life. I testify with 1,000% certainty, because I was that guy. My brother will testify to that extreme, that there is hope. And there is a solution to your problem. You know what I mean? And the answer and the solution is hidden in Christ. And I would love to pray for you. And if you don't feel comfortable reaching out to me, bro, Juan G, I'm on all social media platforms. You can find me. I'm not hard to find. You can reach out to my brother, or you can reach out to other men and women of God that you feel confident that you can go to with this, and have them pray for you in the name of Jesus, and have them plead the blood of Jesus over you, and have them start calling some of these things out that you're struggling with, because it's a spirit at work. The majority of the things that we struggle with, and it's sad, because man will tell you that it's some kind of syndrome or some kind of neurological disorder or something associated with the brain. No, brother, it's a spirit at work. All throughout the Word of God, the Lord Jesus is going to expose what those issues are.
Yeah.
If you have bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart, it says that the bitterness and unforgiveness rots the bones. So a lot of these conditions that people struggle with, they're conditions as a result of some kind of spiritual oppression in their life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's why it says to be
willing to let go of.
That are not willing to let go of, right?
Yeah.
It's like a security blanket for them. They want to hold on to it. But the thing is, release it, let it go. Then you can be delivered and set free from it.
Huh.
Because you have to recognize and understand, number one, that it's not normal, and two, that it's not a part of you.
Yeah.
There's freedom in Christ. You can be delivered. You can be set free. You can be healed. How do I know? I'm living proof. I testify. You're living proof.
Yes.
I can testify on your behalf, because I remember what your life looked like a few months ago. I remember what your life looked like 3 months ago. Oh, I made a joke the last time. I wasn't busting shots at my brother. It was a joke. But I said, you know, he had this Kenny Loggins look going on, because he was in his spirit. He was troubled. He was broken. There was things that were out of alignment. But it was something significant that happened. That That's what I mean by there was tangible evidence of your encounter with Jesus.
Yes.
And it didn't occur on the mountain. Yes, you spent time on the mountain with him, and there was something significant that happened there. But it was what happened in that moment of desperation when you came to terms with the fact that there was no other hope for you. There was no other solution. And you came forward because you heard the Lord speak.
Yeah.
And you received him.
Mm-hmm.
And it, whether it was me or someone else, I was blessed by God to be used by him that way. But we just acted in obedience, brother. And we loved on you. And we prayed for you. And there was something that happened when you accepted it.
Yeah.
You made a conscious decision. You weren't coerced. You weren't forced. No. You know what I mean? It was a conscious decision that you made to take this free gift and internalize it and make it your own. And then what happened? Then the Lord removed the scales.
Yeah.
He did a work in your heart. He strengthened your back and your legs. He started removing those desires that pertain to the sinful nature and not to his spirit.
Yeah.
And he started making you aware of who you are and what you are, your identity. And now he's unfolding or peeling back the layers.
Yeah.
Or exposing Ethan for who he is, for what you were, but who you are.
Yeah.
And that's part of my message for you today, brother. And I'm going to keep saying it as long as the Lord will allow me to. Your identity here on earth is as a son of the Most High God, chosen by him before the foundations of the world to be created so that you can be conformed more to the image of the Lord, more to the image of Jesus. There's a reason why he chose you out of the situations that you've been in, that religion, that church that he pulled you out of. Because you said, I didn't believe it. I knew that there was something wrong. I knew that it didn't fit. That suit did not fit you because it wasn't designed by God for you.
Okay, yeah.
But now he'll use you to go back and to draw others out of that same pit, out of that same snare, because the enemy's the snare of the fowler.
Yeah.
He sets the traps.
It's interesting that you said, talked about bitterness, because there was for a very... that's probably why I fell into my addictions in the first place, was just because I was very, very bitter and angry towards just the lies that I had believed, the manipulation that some of the church members had, bestowed or tried to do for me or on me. And it took me seeing this prayer. It was like, God, I do not feel like forgiving these people, but I will choose to forgive these people.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because I know that you probably didn't feel like forgiving me, but you still chose to forgive me. Because forgiveness isn't a feeling, it's a choice. Just like faith is not a feeling, it's a choice.
Amen, brother.
And I'm not going to always feel faithful towards God, but I'm going to always do my best and try to choose to be faithful towards God. Because why? He's always and always will be faithful to me. Mm-hmm. And so I can only do my best to return the favor. Granted, I'm going to stumble and fall sometimes, but that's where his faithfulness steps in. And it's kind of like, look, you carried your cross this far.
Mm-hmm.
Let me help you.
But it's cool, though, what happens in the life of the believer when he makes a choice to follow after Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he says, okay, now his presence abides in us. His spirit goes before us, behind us. But then he brings other men and women of God that are like-minded, that are chosen by him to come alongside us. So we're never alone.
Exactly. I agree.
That's the beauty of this song. We're never alone. He didn't make us to be isolated by ourselves, trying to do the Lone Ranger. The Lone Ranger approach to the walk with God never works. You know what I mean?
Even Jesus didn't carry his cross alone.
No.
Simon
and Cyrene helped him carry it.
Yeah. And which I think is important, because there will be days where I'm like, Jesus, I do not feel like carrying my cross today.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when he's like, okay, give it to me. Like, I'll carry it for a little bit. It's like, really? Okay, sure. Like, that feels a lot better. And I can only imagine, that's how Jesus felt too. I can't carry this cross another 4 miles. I need help.
And here's the reality. Let's be real. look, we're not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to sugarcoat it for nobody. I'm going to keep it a grand with you. Agape loving you isn't always telling you what you want to hear. Agape loving you is telling you the truth. Not the way I see it, but the way that it's written. Okay? Yeah. Part of the reason why a lot of people don't hear from God is not because God's not speaking. It's because they've brought a whole bunch of sin between them and God. Because sin means separation. So there's all this separation between them and God. So that it's not that God's not speaking. It's that they no longer hear his voice because of the separation they brought between themselves and Abba Father. Because his presence is always there. It's what happens in the moment that we choose to turn away from our sin and turn back to God. His presence is right there. He meets us right where we're at. So it's not that, well, I don't hear from God, Brother Juan. No, it's not that you're not hearing from God. It's what hidden sin are you entertaining? What hidden secrets, this secret little sin that you think nobody knows about, but that little secret sin brings separation. Yeah. And then the longer we entertain it, we find ourselves way out here in left field and we don't even hear God's voice anymore. And it's not that God's not speaking, because God is always speaking to his people. Amen?
Yeah, amen.
So if there's some of you out there that are entertaining hidden sin, don't do it. Repent, do a 180, turn back to God. That's it. It's a choice. My brother hit it right in the head. It's all about choices. It's all about choices. We cannot ride on somebody else's coattail on their anointing. We cannot ride on somebody else's revelation. Because the revelation that the Holy Spirit gives to us, it's not always for everybody else. Their revelation might just be for me.
Yeah.
Because
I started to learn too.
This is a personal thing.
Yeah, like not everything that God shows me is something to be shared.
No, some of it is just a revelation for you. Unless the Lord says, go tell them.
Yeah.
Because the prophets, God spoke to them, but God spoke to them about their present circumstance or their situation. But then he said, go tell Israel, go tell my children. And then they would go, thus saith the Lord, and they would reveal what the Lord had spoken. But everybody's revelation isn't for everybody. No. Sometimes that revelation is just for ourselves. Amen.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and even if it was that way for Jesus too. Like, Jesus received revelation from the Father all the time. And when the disciples were like, hey, like, what's this or whatever, Jesus would say, like, he probably already had received revelation about it.
He knew what it was.
Wasn't allowed or to tell them at that time. Mm-hmm. You know, it was kind of like,
or he spoke to them in parables.
Yeah, and he's like, this is not for you to know at this. Even like with the second coming, he's like, this is not for, like, only the Father in heaven knows at the time of my return. And it's kind of like, Jesus probably knows when, because he's been given the same power and authority, but he wasn't allowed to tell, like, or he wasn't going to tell his disciples the time of his return, because there was work that needed to be done.
Yeah, yeah.
There was still you and I to have this conversation.
Amen, amen. And the beauty of it is, brother, look, we're going to share a little more points and then we're going to close.
Yeah.
But the beauty of it all is that 12 individuals chosen by God, ordinary people, chosen by God to do extraordinary things here in the earth. And because of their choice, and as a result of their choice, that choice is still bearing fruit today. How do I know that? Because here we are sharing this truth, this testimony with you all out there. So that's the evidence. That's the beauty of the things of God. It just keeps producing, it keeps producing, it keeps producing. Similar to the 12 fish and the five loaves. The two fish and the five loaves fed 5,000 men, but in all actuality, it was more like 11,000 people, maybe 13,000 people. And that blessing, it kept producing. It never ended.
No.
And so it is with the things of God. The blessings of God, they just keep producing. So one more thing I wanted to share with you all. I mentioned it briefly. When the word of the Lord says snare of the fowler, it's a hunting term. A fowler was somebody that hunted birds, and so more often, I mean, they would use a snare to catch the bird. You know what I mean? They would catch it by its talon or its foot. Would step into the snare and they try to fly off and they'd be snagged, and that was a way for a hunter or a trapper to trap the birds. And that's the analogy that the Lord gives us about his children. He created us to rise above our circumstances. He created us to soar above our circumstances because we're not earthbound. The enemy is doing whatever he can to keep us bound here to the earth. So he uses all different types of tactics and strategies to do so. But our freedom, our salvation is hidden in Christ. All you have to do is take a hold of it. It's a choice. It's a choice that you make. We choose agape love. We choose our identity. We choose Jesus. It's all a choice. Who will you choose today? What will you choose today? Will you stay stuck in your Egypt? Or will you make a choice to take the Lord by the hand and let him lead you by the safe way to the promise? Amen. Be blessed in everything that you do today. And I want to thank the Lord for this time. I want to thank you, especially my brother, because you jumped on this podcast episode. And we barely scratched the surface, man. We can keep going and going and going. And but best believe we're going to have Brother Ethan back on another show and have him share more of what God has done and what he's doing in him, and maybe share more of his testimony. The beauty of the testimony is that it wasn't just for that moment. Every day, if we allow ourselves, the Lord grows our testimony every day.
Absolutely.
So the testimony doesn't end at one specific point. The testimony is continuously growing every day, every day, every day. The Lord is growing our testimony. And it just so happens that, you know, we can use bits and pieces to help whoever is in need of. And here, again, what was shared is important. It's vital. If you're struggling out there with depression, with anxiety, if some of you out there were victims of abuse or molestation and you don't know who to talk to, please talk with somebody. Get some prayer. Reach out to a pastor, somebody that you can confide in, that will pour into you, that will lay hands on you and pray for you, that will plead the blood of Jesus over you, that will be a blessing to you. And there's hope. There's a way out. And that hope and that way out is Jesus. I can testify. My brother will testify. Amen. I'm going to stretch my hands out and I'm going to pray for you all right now. We're going to make it a little more personal because in the name of Jesus, we're going to pray some things off of you. And we're going to break some things off you in the name of Jesus. Amen. For Amen. Those that have ears to hear. Amen. Blessedly, Father, we humbly come before your throne of grace right now, Father God, to just stand in the gap for those out there, Father God, who have been the victims of abuse, Father God, whether it's physical, emotional, psychological, sexual, Father God, we pray right now, Father God, that you would heal and restore the broken areas, Lord, in their hearts, in their soul, Father God, that you'd restore the mind, that you'd heal the heart, Father God, that you'd restore the fragmented pieces of their hearts back to them, Father God. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we break and we bind and rebuke every spirit of every spirit of depression, every spirit of anxiety, every spirit of shame, every spirit of fear, every spirit of doubt, any and everything that would oppress and torment those that have ears to hear, Father God. We bind and rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus, and remind you that you're under authority. We plead the blood of Jesus over everyone hearing, Father God, over everyone listening, now and later, Father God. Bless their families, bless their bloodlines, Father God. We proclaim healing, renewal, and restoration in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you would have divine encounters and divine visitations with those out there, Father, that don't know you, and the ones that know you, Father God, those that have fallen astray, that by your love and your mercy, the prodigals will return back to you, Father God. We ask, Father God, that you would have your perfect way in this moment, in this hour, in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus over everyone, Father God. Have your perfect way. We come in agreement, Father God, and we know that where two on earth agree, it's settled in heaven. So we thank you, Lord. We give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Bless our coming and going, Lord. Let this time that we spent together, Father God, let it have been pleasing and acceptable to you, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Well, beloved, this is the end of our show for today. But tune in, be blessed, and keep your ears open in the spirit. There's more podcast episodes coming. There's more information. And as always, reach out to Brother Juan. Heart, like, subscribe, follow. And again, if those of you feel led to bless the mission, to bless the move, glory to God. And if you don't, glory to God still. But... But don't let the right hand know what the left hand is doing. Do your charitable acts of giving in secret, where you'll be rewarded in heaven, but it's pleasing and acceptable to God. Amen. Be blessed in all your ways. We agape love you. Peace.